Yo, what's the word? What's the word? And you're tuning in for the official episode, first episode of the whole
Reloaded.
podcast Reloaded. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Phil, how you doing, fam?
I'm doing straight, man. You know, I'm your boy Phil. You can call me C-Les, call me those silly, whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? Just know I got the answers.
Of course, of course. And I'm your boy, Me Don. And we basically breaking the ice on a new episode of the Holo Podcast, the first one of the Reloaded. Kind of wanted to rebrand and things like that. And me and my guy Phil are basically going to talk about a lot of things that, you know, suits our interests, from pop culture to sports and everything that we've been talking about from years and years and years going on. Kind of just adding our own little flavor and unique little perspective on it, you know, and just kind of just feeling, want to see how you guys feel as well. Kind of just want to see how the people, you know, feel about it. So, how you feeling today, fam?
I'm feeling great, man. And just like what Don said, at the end of the day is just to have fun and talk about shit you want to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Just be vibing, because we talk a lot in the damn chat. So we just sharing it with y'all because we think it's live. All right.
For sure. Yeah, definitely want to, like I say, add a unique little perspective, you know, because I feel like we've been going at this for as long as we've known each other, you know, us and the boys and things like that. So just want to be vocal and things like that, and, you know, just kind of just see what the people think as well, you know, because we are other people and we want to kind of give it to the people. So we're going to start things off, Phil, you know, with a couple of the little things that we've been kind of just been on the radar as far as like what's been going on as far as, you know, in the world and things like that. So,
I'll take it over from there. So we're going to start in the NFL. It's been a lot of funny little things been happening, man. The Colts, man, they finally benched that little terrorist they got. You know, put that boy Flacco back, Super Bowl MVP. He been around the block, been in the league a little minute, you know. Been with the Ravens, obviously. Came and did some good things with the Browns. Now he with the Colts, back in the starter position, officially starter position. Ain't no injury, just some terrible play. And I'm feeling it, man. I'm feeling it. I never liked AR coming out of college. So... You can't be drafting projects that high. That boy is a seventh round pick at best. But we're gonna see how his career turned out. But as of right now, I think it's benching.
Keep going.
As of right now, this benching is well deserved. What you thinking, bro?
Nah, I'm gonna be honest, bro. Like, he kind of came into a different situation to kind of start things off in general. Just him being a UF, he always was kind of a project in general. You know, with kind of the renaissance of like the mobile quarterbacks and kind of just the dual threats, we've been seeing that's kind of been taking over the league, with a lot of these pass rushers being a lot better, a lot faster, a lot stronger. That's kind of been a big deal to a lot of GMs. But I feel like from the beginning, his progression has kind of just been delayed. He was hurt his first year, and then kind of getting and thrown into a situation with an actually talented roster. So
he's still hurt. Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. So he got hurt this
exactly.
year. So it's like they was calling him baby Cam Newton, bro. Cam Newton was him in college.
I ain't gonna lie, I ain't hear that, fam.
They did call him that, bro, coming out of jail, because of his size. They like the same size, and he fast. They were saying he like Cam. I think he like 6'4", 6'5". He huge, bro. I ain't gonna lie, he a physical presence. He just acid football.
This man's crazy. I feel that. Right. I just feel like him coming to a team that's already built to win now just never really was just of service to him. It's not really like a Bryce situation, I feel like, to where Bryce has talent, has weapons, but Bryce doesn't, I feel like, have weapons to where he is in a position to win now.
Bro,
you know?
I'll say one tiny thing about Bryce on that game against the Broncos. Them boys called five slants. Right, it was like a 4th and 4, and that two slants over here, like three slants over here, they all just ran into each other. They playing Madden, bro. That's not a real NFL play call. You just call five slants. That it obviously did not work. So that's what I say about Bryce. But I'm gonna move us on. Deontay Johnson of Baltimore. I'm here in Baltimore right now, so that's a little loud for the city. For my fantasy team, though, I don't like it at all. The boy went from being wide receiver one to fighting for wide receiver two and three targets. You know what I'm saying? But Lamar got another weapon. So that weapon argument, they got to cool it a little bit, because I think he got plenty of tools, man. He just got to use the tool shed. And he has been. It's not like they asked. They just, you know, had one bad game as a team, and they got him another weapon out of it. I think that's a real go-get attitude from that GM. I really like Deontay. He's a baller. He's a baller. So I think they got a nice little tool shed up there in Baltimore for that boy Lamar now. What you saying?
Oh, nah. I mean, I had to kind of, I'm gonna be, I'm completely honest with you. I had to do my research on, bro. I kind of liked what I saw as far as the number wise and things like that. Like you say, another weapon, another deep threat as well. I've seen that he can kind of go deep as well, things like that. I feel like that's contiguous of what they're trying to do as far as like making their offense a little bit more diverse. So I'm rocking with it. I feel like now it's just more so the consistency of the defense. And then, like you say, just Lamar just kind of just staying at that standard, you know, because.
Yeah.
Being realistic, and when you're two times MVP, you don't really get too much slack as far as that in that department. So I'm interested to see how the rest of the year goes, especially implementing him, because I do feel like it's a good time before the playoffs to kind of get him going as far as into offense.
They doing the right things, man. They're a playoff team. They got Super Bowl aspirations, and they're not sitting on their ass, right? You know, so. They make a moves to get bigger and better. They need to make some trades for the defense. I think that's where they really need some help. Like, there was a smack in the Bucks, and then all of a sudden, it's 41-31. You know what I'm saying? So that's...
What do you think that's about, though? Because I noticed that, too. Like, they... Not only do they not keep leads a lot, but...
I think they got a young coordinator. So the previous defensive coordinator is not a head coach of the Seahawks, right? And they got a young guy, young guy, you know, in his 30s, young for an NFL coordinator position. And I think he's just going through some growing pains and how he's calling that defense, because they got dogs on that defense. But, you know, getting them in position constantly and you know, calling the right play in the right situation, it'll take some time to get used to that. And I think he's straight. You just got to be consistent with the type of defense you call. And I think that's they main problem.
Right, because yeah, it seems like they could just never really keep a lead, and it's more so like they jump out on people, like they jump out on people, and then like toward like the end of the second half, it's kind of like they kind of wheel themselves back in. It's interesting for real. For real.
They're not finishing the way they're supposed to, put it like that. And you know, that'll take me right into the Jets. They definitely not finishing how they're supposed to. I thought that Robert Saleh fire was a terrible fire. You know, I think he's a great coach. And that defense was better when he was there, and you can see the last couple games they've lost their way a little bit, man. That Aaron Rodgers thing, bro, like it, being 40 in the NFL, it don't work as well as people think it will. You know, only it's Aaron Rodgers, definitely one of those players where you think it might work, and it's not like he playing bad. Like, he definitely getting Garrett Wilson the ball for me on my fantasy team, so I like that. But look at the picks that man throwing, bro. He throwing some crazy, crazy picks. So as a Dolphins fan, it's real funny to see the downfall of the Jets, and especially with the type of hopes and stuff they came in the season with.
Yeah, nah, Perk Rodgers throwed me, I ain't gonna lie. Like, I feel like he's kind of in that phase now where, like, you know, you older. I feel like it's kind of like how LeBron in the NBA now. Like, when dudes is kind of older, they start getting a little cranky, they start kind of getting a little needy, and they kind of want to utilize as much time as they have left. So I feel like they take it upon themselves to kind of really bombard a lot of things and decisions, which is hence the Devontae thing, the firing of Robert Saleh. So I feel like that's just kind of just the stage he's at. Now, granted, the talent is definitely there.
They got talent, bro.
But for some reason, they just can't put points up.
I'm telling you, bro, like, fire the coach, relieve the offensive coordinator of his duties, and shit's still the same. At some point, you got to realize it ain't coaching, bro. It's who you got at the helm. And at the helm is A-Rod. And then they went and got crybaby Mr. Devontae Adams, right? And he not. It's the same, bro. See, you went from the Raiders to the Raiders. How I see it. So.
Yeah, nah, I never really understood that from his perspective either. Like, because like the Raiders, we're not gonna act like Raiders was world beaters, but like you want
to
go.
He begged to go there for money, if you remember, because he left the Packers, right?
I told you the if you want to go get you a bag, go to the Raiders.
Oh, they're gonna pay you. They're gonna pay you.
Pay you, and then people just shake.
They're gonna pay you. They get that boy Christian Wilkins a super bag, and we ain't hear from him all year.
They did it with him. They did it with AB. They did it with boy Darren Waller. They did it with Devontae.
Oh, bro, I forgot Darren Waller. They did pay that, man.
Bro, I'm telling you, bro. You want to go get you a bag and leave? Go to the Raiders,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Like I said, I'm here up in Maryland, so I got to talk about the Hail Commanders. You know, I got to talk about Hail Mary, Hail Jaden, Hail Daniels. You know what I'm saying? Like, a Hail Mary in 2024 is crazy. It's crazy. He going, he proving the doubters why he a Heisman quarterback. You know, why he was a top pick, why he should have been, you know, well, I wouldn't say should have been. Like, you know, Caleb was probably the obvious number one overall pick. But he proven why he is justifiable for what the Commanders did, man. I think that's the job of a franchise quarterback or a franchise player. You change the franchise, you change the outlook where you at. And that man changed the outlook like crazy. 6-2, even the most delusional Commanders fans will not tell you there's going to be 6-2 at this point. That's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, I believe they first in their division. Yeah, so first in the division with the Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants. Like, that's saying something at 8 games into the season, right at the trade deadline. Like, Gary Terry got him a quarterback and he hooping again. So, it's looking up for them, you know. And like I said, Hail Mary, Hail Commanders, Hail Jaden. That's tough. Hail Mary in 2024.
Nah, he Jaden, I ain't gonna lie. I'm starting to become a fan. Not gonna lie, he moving me. Like, I'm not a fan of a lot of guys in the NFL, but I'm starting to become a fan. I just like his poise, how he like looks at the game, how he sees the game. He plays with, like, it's a flair, but it's a poise at the same time. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm thankful that he did not go to the Bears. I feel like that would have just been, yeah. I feel like that would have just been not it for him. Good. I'm actually glad.
That is a fun team.
Yeah, I feel like that team suited how his place, not only his play style, but his skill set as well. Because he can do everything he needs as far as like getting out the pocket, not worrying about doing too much, but he's able to still make them throws as well, you know?
Yeah, no, I'll give it to Cliff, right? The offensive coordinator there. The way he calling plays for the Commanders, man, it's simple, but not simple in a way that it can't be effective in the NFL. They let him do what he's good at, which is running and extending the plays, and they keep the type of throws he need to make downfield relatively easy to read. You know, you might say it's easy to read for the defense, but the fact that they have a strong running game with B-Rob and Odell Eckler, right, and the fact that he could run as well, you know, Mr. Daniels, the defense got to stay on their toes. They got to creep up. They got to stack that box. And no matter if it's a simple route, when you got one-on-one coverage, the route that you're running don't got to be simple. You just got to be better than the guy that's covering you. And Scary Terry, you know, Mr. Terry McLaurin, he better than a lot of niggas covering him. So it's looking up for them, man. And I'm really happy that franchise turning around. They deserve it. It's been years.
I've never known a good shoot, because they didn't have a couple of decent. They had, you know, they had the RG3. They had Kurt. They had a couple. I think I put it in the chat like a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you saw it, but you know that boy Terry McLaurin caught a touchdown pass from 15 different starting quarterbacks.
Bro, that's nuts, bro. That's not supposed to be a thing. And he's not like a 30-year-old.
How is that possible? I was trying to think, like, how is that possible? But like,
bro, they don't have everybody and their mama playing quarterback for the Redskins and then the Commanders and then the football team. All right, but they don't have three names, bro. So
and that just shows how good he is too. Like, he got a touchdown from each one of them.
Each one of them, bro. He's been effective. I think he has 1,000 yards each year he's been in the league so far. So. That's real trim. And then, you know, speaking of that, we're going to move on from there. The Lions, bro. Detroit. Like, Jared Goff don't do shit these days. That boy just sit back, kick back, and throw touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? I think he had 85 yards last game and 3 touchdowns, bro. And they blew him out. That's nuts. That's not normal.
They called him Sonic and Knuckles. They running back tandem.
Sonic and Knuckles is crazy, bro. Giz and McGovern.
That's kind
of you. One of them going to thump you. The other one going to slash you. So it's hard what they're doing, bro. Like, that's my Super Bowl favorites at this point. I know we got those other guys in Kansas that I ain't gonna name them.
We're not gonna speak on them,
but my Super Bowl favorites at the moment is, you know, the Motor City guys in Detroit. So shout out the Lions, man. Shout out what Jared Goff doing. 85 yards and 3 touchdowns, bro, and y'all scored 50 points. That's not okay, bro. That's not something that you do in the NFL. That's a fucking my fault, but that's a 1970s stat, you know. Excuse my language right there, but
I don't even think that nobody really in the NFC is like really competing with them on the offensive end. Defense, mm-hmm. maybe, offensive end. I can't really see nobody. Yeah, maybe the Bucks, if they kind of, if Baker could be, but
we'll see, man. A couple teams that were supposed to compete with them are the San Francisco 49ers, for example, and that'll take me right to the NFC West. That's probably the tightest division in football at this moment, bro. They have three teams that are all 4-4, with the Los Angeles Rams being the only team that's 3-4. That's an extremely tight division. I'm very curious to see what these teams do at the trade deadline that's coming up next week. You know, like, everyone is involved that can win the division. The Cardinals probably didn't bet themselves to win the division, but here they are, you know, currently tied for first place along with the 49ers and the Seahawks. So what do you do? Do you go get it? You know, do you chase that chance to make the playoffs, win your division, and potentially play for a Super Bowl? You know, so I'm very curious to see how aggressive these teams are with how tight this race is in the division, you know. So, what you saying to that?
No, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of teams, I'm going to be honest with you, I've seen, they've kind of disappointed me. I ain't going to say disappoint, but you would expect a lot more. But granted, and I've learned that not always adding new pieces can kind of be good to a team. Especially in football, because I feel like you got to change a lot in football when it comes to that, you know?
Bro, it's 53 players, bro. So, you know, it take every part of the offense, of the defense, the special teams to get a good team going. You know what I'm saying? You can't have a great quarterback and you don't block for the bro. You can't have a great running back and you don't block. You can't be blocking and you have a terrible quarterback. You know what I'm saying? It goes on and on and on. So, but speaking of the division, I want to talk about that boy, IU. You know, that held out for the bag. Held out for the bag, came back, play ass, and then tore his ACL. But I mean, that's sad. I didn't think, not his ACL, was it Achilles? Either way, he out for the year. You know, you never wish an injury on somebody. You never be happy about that. But like, I just wonder how that organization feel, man. They had to deal with this holdout, this process, this man showing up to practice in street clothes, and trade rumors all day, every day, and they finally paid him.
Devo doing podcast.
I'm telling you, bro, and they already don't got CMC, so now they must feel like what they did to deserve this, you know. So,
bro, I got him on fantasy, bro. So
it's rough. Yeah, you tried to trade me, bro. I remember. I remember, bro. You tried to trade me, bro.
I definitely did, bro. And it's like you said. It's like. And I feel like that's the crazy thing about it, too. It's like, after players get these bags, I feel like that kind of tells the type of athlete you are, in my opinion. That tells me the type of person you are. And that tells me your work ethic, too. Because if you're able to take those expectations, because money comes with expectations in sports. So it's just called a spade a spade.
Oh, you get paid, now you looked at differently, like Daniel Jones.
Exactly. Like, people are always going to compare you to your contract at the end of the day, because that's going to be the first thing people bring up. Oh, they're paying them such, such, and such. So, for you to not raise your level of play after that, that kind of tells me, like, it kind of tells me what type of person you are. I wouldn't say as a person, but as an athlete, because it's no way that he should have been playing. He didn't have a game of over 120 yards the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, 120 yards is a tough mark, but if you're getting paid that type of money, that's supposed to be the type of numbers. Yeah, so it's tough. It's going to be tough for them. It's going to be tough for that offense. It's going to be real tight in that division the rest of the way. And like I said, I'm curious to see if they go get them a wide receiver, you know what I'm saying, just to help fill that gap.
Did Kittle just come back?
Kittle, yeah, he did. He scored on National Tight End Day, so... You know,
oh, wow, this National Tight End Day?
Yeah, bro, you tripping. You didn't know it was National Tight End Day.
I apologize if I didn't know a specific position had a day.
You supposed to know that, bro, because they all score. Like a million tight ends scored on Sunday and made a lot of people money except me. But, but that's it, man. That's my NFL roundup. You know, I'm gonna toss it over to the NBA guru himself, Mr. X and O. So what we pushing today?
I wouldn't say guru, bro. I just watch the games, bro. Well, I kind of, like I say, it's the start of the season. Not to NFL, it's kind of, we really in the thick of it with NFL. We kind of see how teams are, but the NBA is kind of just really starting off. It was funny because you was mentioning it before how today the Cavs is actually playing the Lakers, and they was giving them belt to behind as of we've seen. down. But yeah, man, like I was kind of really seeing, this year is going to really be about whose offenses are able to kind of withstand the storm. I'm seeing a lot of, like I say, exotic offenses. Teams are prioritizing open threes a lot, and you could tell with based off how the teams have like been playing. The games have been very competitive. That's one thing that I've definitely been liking. And bro, it's talent all over the field, bro. I feel like every team has at least two players who can kind of move your franchise in some sort of capacity. So
yeah,
you know, the only undefeated team now at this, well,
it's only a couple, so
is the Celtics and the Cavs.
We got three. So as of right now, by the way, we're recording this on the 30th of October. So as of right now, there's a couple games going, but not counting those games, the Celtics, the Cavs, and OKC are all undefeated.
OKC are undefeated, bro.
Big 3-0. It's been quiet. You know, them boys don't like national spotlight.
Didn't they just lose to? Oh no, they did beat them.
Yeah,
I thought they lost to. I forgot they beat the Hawks. Yeah, they did beat the Hawks.
Yeah, okay, they're undefeated, big shot.
Yeah, they just. I forget. Cause I don't know. It's weird with them. They always play less part of the season. They always play less games than everybody. They're always like a game or something two behind. But
yeah, shot put a little 35 in that game. So he almost had a triple double. Actually, 35, 11, and 9.
Yeah, and three steals. Yeah. He did. But yeah, that's kind of the things I've been noticing a lot. Eastern Conference, in my opinion, based off what I've seen so far, I think the Eastern Conference is going to be the best conference this year. I know that's kind of, I don't know if that's a hot take or anything like that.
It's not a cold take, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, because we know the reputation of the West. We know Westers are usually the good teams, the West Coast teams, Pacific Northwest teams. Those are kind of the teams that people always kind of like watch. But like, I feel like the East have a lot of young teams that are on the rise, and they have a lot of deep teams too. So I'm kind of watching a lot of the East teams right now. One team that I kind of really want to like elaborate a little bit on, and we did just see them, I guess we can kind of start this off with them just because obviously they're the defending champs. The Boston Celtics didn't really lose too much steam. They starting off picking up right where they left off from last season. Came out the gate 29 threes.
That's next nuts, game, bro.
At 16 threes. Game after that, 22 threes. Game after that, 15 threes.
That's so
averaging 18 threes on the season made.
That's crazy. That's crazy. People average 18 threes taken, and you said made. Now, you made a great point in the chat the other day. They. It's like, what's that boy name? The Houston coach. D'Antoni. D'Antoni. Yeah, you saying you know, Missoula got that D'Antoni offense, but they play defense.
Oh, that's why I call it basketball. Threes more than threes.
Telling you, bro, and they play defense, bro. That's the key. You know how I feel about defense. I really don't like when players don't play defense. I feel like you're so worthless. But they play defense. They worthless is a strong word. I just like defense. I'm a big appreciator of a guy that really get down and dirty, like Anthony Black with Magic. But yeah, they play defense, man. So I'm with you there. That's it. A lot of threes come coupled with some great defensive play. Is a recipe for a championship, as they've proven.
Yeah, bro. I don't think I've seen. I'm gonna be honest. For the past, I would probably say, I'm gonna be honest. Probably ever, bro. I don't think I've seen a team with as many two-way players as this Boston Celtics team. I would probably maybe go since like maybe if you want to go like the 04 Pistons, because they had a lot of two-way players, or if you want to go around the time of like those early Kings teams. But you got four or five guys who can drop, give you 30 on offense and lock up your best defender. I saw when the Celtics played the Bucks, bro. I seen a play where Dame was in transition, pushing the pace, tempo. You know, he going to that jab step back. Then he dumped it off to Porter, but then he had to switch because Brown ended up switching onto Dame. And I seen him guard Giannis on the drives, cutting from delay into the basket, bro. I seen this man Derek White guard Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo in the same play, bro.
Because, bro, they play hard, bro. They play bigger than their size a lot of the times. And it's a true switch defense, you know what I'm saying? So, like,
Everything.
It's a lot of people say they want to switch everything, but a lot of the times they don't got the personnel, and it isn't executed the way it needs to be, and they doing it, bro. They doing it.
Yeah, it's hard to switch everything, bro. Especially now when we're in a screen and roll heavy league, like it's hard to switch everything. But if you got the personnel to do it, and on top of that, here's the thing about it, bro. Porzingis hasn't played a game this season.
A game. That boy might not come back till playoff time. What they talking about?
Like, imagine just having a wet, like, that's like,
you know, just, you know, he just got him tucked, bro. He just got into, you know, like on Call of Duty, how you switch to the pistol. That's what them boys trying to do. They got the AR out. You know, you think they ran out of ammo. Here come Kristaps.
Like I say, the only person I really see beating them is themselves at that point. But yeah, the Celtics are going to be good. Obviously, kind of want to go a little bit to the West Coast. The Lakers have really been moving me. Like I say, their offense, I'm going to be honest, it's still early. And one thing about veteran teams like the Lakers, it doesn't matter about the beginning of the season. It matters about the dog days of the season. Where am I going to run these sets and keep running plays like at a random game against Charlotte in December? Mm-hmm. Am I going to stay consistent? Am I going to continue to realize what the end goal is? So the Lakers have been playing great. Like I was saying, Darvin Ham, I don't know why, but pockets, I feel like he didn't utilize Anthony Davis at his full capacity. He definitely didn't use Anthony Davis at his full capacity like JJ is doing. He's actually using AD as like the focal point of the offense, not letting LeBron set up for him. And AD's able to do that, bro. He's an underrated passer. He finishes with the best of them. He doesn't shy away from contact. And he's able to blow up a lot of plays as well, like on the defensive end. So when you got that type of talent on your team, bro, the sky's the limit. All you got to do is just make sure the pieces around him are flowing.
Yeah, so, you know, like you said, it's an 82-game season. And it's about showing that you can be good for all 82. Obviously, you're going to have off nights and nobody goes 82-0. But based on what JJ has showed me in these first 3-4 games, you know, he coaching. Like, he real life coaching, right? You know, maybe it looks way more better than it, you know, way better than it actually is because of what we saw last year with Mr. Ham. You know,
the bar's kind of low.
he wasn't coaching, but I seen JJ, the fact that he on the sidelines, you know, courtside yelling and communicating to his players in the middle of a game, you know, that's a massive difference from what we saw last year. But it's not just the fact that he's doing it, it's what he's saying. You know, he really spent, and you can tell he's been playing the game for a while. You know, he's not afraid of the moment. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm excited. You know, we'll see what Ken James could do. He put up a little stinker last game, so I know he's gonna bounce back. I know you're
looking. I don't know what you're talking about. What game?
Yeah, you're right. We'll shake it. I ain't gonna mention what's going on right now. I ain't gonna mention that score.
Yeah, no. you hit on the head, bro. Like, you can tell they definitely respect JJ as a coach and his basketball acumen. And if you really look at like JJ's career, like, you gotta think he's a Coach K product when he was at Duke.
Yep.
He played for Stan Van Gundy for those 09 to 011 Magic teams, high power offensive teams. He played for the Doc Rivers Clippers. Even though I'm not the biggest fan of Doc Rivers, I can't take away the fact that they were a really good team. So he's always been in the fold with good coaches. So I feel like that's kind of the reason why he's able to kind of be as transparent with his players, because he knows what good coaches do. And he knows what communicate.
And you know what they say, bro, role players make the best coaches. You know what I'm saying? So like, because star players got to rely, not to say JJ wasn't talented, but they get to rely on themselves, their talent, their athletic ability. But our role players, man, they literally get coached up on the role, and you know, telling them, they get told where to be, they get told how to do what they do, and they get told how to essentially, you know, find a place in the offense, in the team, and stick it and make it good. And JJ was a phenomenal role player for the entirety of his career. So getting to be coached up to understand the role, you know, so it's good what they're doing. I think they benched it a little light. You know, I think you mentioned that before. So we'll see what they do as the season goes on, if they grab any pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because to be honest, I feel like what kind of helped them too is the growth of a lot of players. Like, Austin Reeves came back better this year, 100%. D'Lo, even though he's been in the league, he's come back a little better. Shooting is still, D'Lo always going to be an inconsistent shooter. I kind of just know that's D'Lo, but his playmaking has definitely been on point. Rui has come back better. And the Rook has basically come in and made instant impact, making plays on defense, hitting threes.
Yeah, connect four, they say. But Rui, I think, going to be that standout, man. He's going to be a big reason why they're successful. Obviously, you got AD and LeBron, but you expect that, right? So it's where you're getting unexpected buckets. And Rui right now is unexpected buckets. So we'll see if he's able to stay consistent for 82 and obviously the playoffs afterwards. But, you know, he bombs away on some Japanese-type beat. But, you know what I'm saying? So...
Hey,
I can't say that.
My fault. Okay. You're out of pocket. Okay. But Lakers definitely gonna be good, bro. And another team out west, like I said, that I kind of gave them a lot of slack last year because I feel like they just tried to make gumbo and give it out to people was the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns are playing some damn good basketball right now, bro.
Yeah, I gotta see it, bro. I need more.
Nah, for sure. But one thing has been impressive to me is there's a lot more sacrifice within this, and a big part of that due to them actually having a point guard. And I get it. And we're in this phase of the NBA where you have the star player initiate the offense and kind of live with the results. But yeah, at the end of the day, Suns don't have those type of players to where they can just set the table for other people and draw off their gravity. No, Devin Booker's at his best when he's coming off curls, he's coming off hedges, he's coming off down screens. That's how Bill's at his best. That's how KD's at his best. Yes, sure, they're good with the ball in their hands, but they excel off the ball. And that's the difference. A lot of people don't know the difference between on-ball scorers and off-ball scorers. Yes, they can score with the ball in their hands, but now that they have Tyus Jones and Monte Morris, they're getting a lot better looks, and they're getting timely looks, because there'll be times to where, let's just say it's maybe like 30 seconds in the quarter, and you're going for a 2-for-1. That first possession is going to be a Kevin Durant ISO, and you're taking away a good 20 seconds of the clock, and they're most likely going to get the shot, and all I got to do is double KD off the sides, because nowadays, teams are running a lot more zones. So yeah, it's a lot easier to double star players now, you know? Because think about it. Zones is some things that they run in high school.
Bad, bro.
Yeah, when you run that one guy who's raw as heck to stop scoring, yeah, you just run that zone. So I like the Suns. They're moving the ball. They're playing defense. The Rook they got, the Ryan kid, he's moving. I see all defense in his future. Moves his feet real well, real good with his hands. Doesn't foul, which is really rare for rookies, for him to be so sound on defense and not foul. So I definitely feel like they got the pieces to make something happen. I still don't trust Nurk, but
they don't play though, man. So I was looking at his minutes earlier. He don't start, but he played bench minutes. Really,
it's hard to play him, bro, because he's not that good on defense, and he's a good screener, but his offense is not really too much he can do.
So he probably one of them liabilities they got over there. I don't know, but I still think they got too much hands in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's nice if you're able to cut, but if everybody in there trying to cut, you ain't gonna make no good meal. So that's what I think the Suns' problem is. They got too much hands on the stove, too much hands in the pot.
So depending on how their record goes for the season, and granted, when does the last year of Bradley Beal's deal kick in? Hold up.
On his
so he has two more years on his deal.
Yeah.
So
a bank robber, bro.
Nah, he's a highway robbery. So yeah. Do you see, if it gets to a certain point in the season, do you trade Beal for some pieces to kind of compete? Depending on how his deal is? Because he's been up and down to start the season. He had a good game. Lakers,
So my thing with that is, one, I really want to come out and say nobody's gonna take that contract, but with this new NBA, everybody getting paid, bro. Aaron Gordon just got a crazy deal, you know. So you're right, that deal, that somebody is probably willing to absorb that deal. I'm always for getting role players, bro. I'm always for getting role players. Once you have your star cogs, your star pillars, you need to surround them with a roof and the floor. You know what I'm saying? You got your pillars, now put some furniture in the building. You know what I'm saying? Right now they don't got no furniture in the building, and I think that's the problem. They got the pillars, they got people holding it up, but they got too many pillars, bro. They it's just pillars. They need some decor, some decorations. And so I would love that. I would love a Beal trade, even though that's what they did to get Beal. They traded away, some pieces and brought Beal in. But I don't know, we'll see. I could be wrong. I could be talking out my behind, and they go on to make a crazy playoff run because they got the stars to do that. We'll just see. I'm all for role players though.
No, I feel that. But yeah, so those are the three teams that I feel like have caught my attention major. And I just want to just talk about three players that I feel like we should kind of watch for the season to kind of go on and just kind of see their track. We were talking about that. Oh, so you want me to start with your boy first?
We'll see who you say. We'll see who you say.
It wasn't for him to be a boy, I'm going to be honest. But this first dude is the guy who he's my MVP so far. This first guy.
Go ahead.
A Disney's moving me, bro.
Okay, I could get with that. I could get with A Disney.
Leading the league in scoring, leading the league in effective field goal percentage. Has a 60 true shooting right now, which is crazy. And like I say, bro, just JJ Redick using him as not only a scoring hub, but a passing hub and things like that has really expanded his game because he's been able to make a lot of those Jokic-type passes. Obviously not cross to the other corner type passes, but a little skip pass on the road, backdoor cut, baseline type thing. And we got that 2020 AD jumper.
It's back, bro. He's cooking. He's looking real smooth. He's had 25 plus points in every game thus far. So those numbers are looking crazy. And you're right. JJ got him. They're using him right. Rui's not crowding his airspace. You know what I'm saying? So they still have spacing with those guys on the floor, which is a great thing to have, man. A Disney's not a dig at that boy, by the way, man. I think that we just didn't end it in their heart. So shout out A Disney, man.
Well, he made his name in the bubble, man. He's A Disney. I'm telling you,
he is A Disney. Yeah.
He made his name in the bubble, bro. I'm gonna name my three. I'm interested to see if one of you guys is the guy who I'm gonna name. So who do you think I was gonna say?
I was hoping you brought up P5,
Oh, okay. We on the same page.
Yeah, we on the same page. I needed that P5.
Of course, bro. P5, first game of the season, 33-11-5 against the Heat. That was definitely something that I like to see, especially with Heat type of defense as well, because Heat aren't really a high point of attack defense, but them having the versatility really moved me. Second game was okay. Did a lot more playmaking. But
you're talking about what he did Miami game one?
Yeah, nah, that Miami game one, definitely.
Dirty ball.
First 33, like I say, rebounding the ball, doing what he needs to do. And then third game, he just had a 50-piece nugget.
Bro, five, bro, the top of names he surrounded with was Shaq and T-Mac. That should tell you what that means for that franchise, bro. Yes.
That gave me flashes of like 08 Bron.
Oh, that's it, bro. That's what he could do every night. He just need to do it. You know what I'm saying? He could do that every night.
I'm just looking forward to seeing how the progression goes because his playmaking has gotten a lot better. But that just comes with playing more games in the NBA. You're gonna the game's gonna start slowing down so you can make those appropriate reads. I don't need him to be Bron as far as playmaking. But as long as he can make those reads and use his scoring gravity to make his teammates better, I'm cool. But I hope he realizes now that when you drop 50 in the league, you're looked at differently now. Basically, very you're telling teams, come double me. You're telling teams to come double you now. So I'm interested to see how he is moving forward and how he kind of navigates that,
Yeah, it's a little crazy to say that a number one overall pick that's been hooping like he has since day one is underrated.
It's crazy, isn't it?
That's what happens when you play in somewhat of a smaller market like Orlando, right? Miami dominates that Florida market. So that's what happens. They don't get on national TV as much. They don't get appreciated as much. But real, if you watch the games, man, and we're here to let you know P5 is that guy, bro. He gave me like he played for Sony. So He is moving. He
8 out
is
of 10.
Moving. 8 out of 10. I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll take that.
Oh, snap. Nah, that's fire, though. But yeah, nah, he's definitely. So before I move on to my third play, one more question about P5. Is there an all-NBA team realistic for him?
Consistency is the word, bro. Consistency is the word. It's all-NBA is a. It's not like all-star, bro. That's, you know, that's a lot of fan input and flair involved. All-NBA is that realist, bro. Like this is you were the best at your position, in the league.
Well, not position anymore, because remember, it's positionless now. It's just crazy.
Position group, right? You know, because it's still like guards and forwards, right? So, he got a hoop, and right now, so far, he hooping. But they gotta be consistent. You already know Tatum gonna be in there. You know what I'm saying? At one of the forwards. You already know Giannis gonna be in contention, and Embiid gonna play 40 games and get a shot. So, actually, is he? Does all NBA apply to that 65 game rule?
Yeah. So that's all awards.
Oh, Embiid gone then. Never mind. Don't gotta worry about that.
Yeah, I already counted him out. He's not with that. So that's 15 games already that he's not playing.
Gone. So Tatum, Giannis, PG, depending on how many games he play. Bam and Jimmy gonna have a say, right? Because Jimmy said he want to try to play more, get regular season games now, because Pat Riley kind of called him out on it. So he got some competition in some of those forward positions, but if he play consistent and he hoop like we know he could hoop, then it's his to lose, I think. It's gonna be there. The NBA will recognize him. The All-Star a little tricky, but all NBA, I think those are typically handled well.
All right, and then the last player on the list, you know, one and only.
Let's hear it.
The Cougar Killer, boy, Jalen Green.
Oh, brother. My boy, he put up tour dates, though. I ain't gonna lie.
No, not this year.
But check the box scores, bro. I'm telling you.
See? That's what we're not gonna do. Because, let me tell you why he's on my list.
I gotta watch the game with my eyes.
Not only is he shooting a career high from three, 46% right now. I feel like this is his best year as far as knowing where he's supposed to score. Because a big problem that I had with Jalen Green before is you're one of the most athletic people in the NBA, but you don't go to the rim. You settle a lot. You don't like to finish a lot and things like that. I feel like this is his more concise year so far. I mean, the season just started, so we're going best off that. Averaging 20, well, on average 28, 5, and 6 right now. So he's doing his thing. He balling, things like that. I like how he's confident in his shots that he's getting. It's not as maniacal. He's not dribbling too much how he used to. And he's playing off his teammates a lot better that I like. And he's playing on defense, which what I like. The only problem that I see with the Rockets, and I was actually talking to the guys in the chat about this earlier. When you have so much talent on one team, it's hard to tell young players who have barely kind of etched their role or their status in the NBA to play a role. Because then you fall into the form of inconsistency, you know? You fall into those lapses to where, oh, is it my turn to do this? Oh, I'm on the heater. Let me do this. Let me do that. So him navigating that, him continuing to grow in that space, I'm intrigued to kind of see. Because he's never gonna be the 50% from the field type. That's just not realistic. That because of the shots he takes and his play on the defense, you know? Shooting guards really shoot that high of a clip really from the field like that anyway. So
I mean, I get it, man. Keep shooting.
Yeah, but basically I'm just curious to see how his development goes in the season, especially how the Rockets kind of continue to play. So he's that third guy on that list that I kind of want to keep my eyes on as far as his progression. What you feel about that in the Rockets?
Nah, so I'll be real. I've been betting on Jalen Green every game. You know, for some reason, the bookies got his line 20.5, 21.5. And if you check that boy a box score out, right, I'm low-key box score watching, ain't gonna lie. He shoot enough shots to score 30 every game. So I already knew that.
But he's gonna get his shots. He's gonna get his shots. Right. I can say that.
I'm already knowing over 20.5, over 21.5. Those is locks, man. So word to the wise for y'all. You know, when you listen to this, and if Rockets play and you see his line around 20.5, 21.5, you take that over every time. Feel it lock of the day. you know, lock of the season for y'all boys. So I'm let me get back on point. So now I hear you, bro. Like I'm tapped in. I think the Rockets, you know, the Rockets got some good pieces. You know, I'm a big fan of Jabari Smith. You know, I would like to see him get a little bit more looks because I think he has a lot of athleticism, a lot of on tap potential that he not getting to showcase too much. He playing his role and he is a good player. You know, I think he can do more for y'all. I think, you know, for I shouldn't say y'all, but the Rockets, you know.
They don't say me. Only the people.
We
don't want them to think there's agendas.
Nah, there is. But, let me stop. But, I just think he's going to be key. Obviously, you got Sengun, you know, he on time. And you got Jalen Green, who we just talked about. And you got Freddie. But the role players is key, right? The role players is key. So I think Jalen Green gonna do his thing, and it's gonna be interesting to see how the Rockets season goes and what's shaping it to be a tight West.
Right now, I trust me, I definitely agree. And I was looking, so I was actually because last game he only had 2 rebounds and 0 assists, one rebound, so that's why I dropped. But yeah, he's averaging 29 actually, not 28, 29, 4 and 3.
Big Jalen?
Yeah, Jalen.
Yeah, you mean Cougar Killer Fire.
The second game was really what kind of threw him, because he shot 8 for 21, but he shot 50% from 3.
What's that? That was August tour date? July tour date?
That's August. So yeah. This first closer to the first one, that was 9 for 23. But like I said, I don't look for him to shoot 50%. I'm just looking at the shots he's taking. If he's taking good shots, then I'm cool with him letting them fly as long as they're good shots. But fried shots, then no go. And I like your point that you mentioned as far as Jabari too. I feel like, and I was going back to my point as far as the role players, like I feel like he's a player that kind of gets lost in the mix a lot of times for being a good teammate and playing his role, guarding the best defender on the other team a lot of times, and being a swing man a lot of times, because he's the one a lot of times who's that connector to the corner three. He's usually in that role or that catch and shoot. So now I definitely feel like he can expand the role, but when you got so much talent, bro, it's kind
of
hard.
You have a lot of talent just across the entire league. I think you touched on it earlier. The talent levels is especially high this year. You know,
high, bro. And one thing that I can see. And I can see it now that I'm seeing Ime coach more. Remember when, like, in the, was it the 22 finals that the Celtics played the Warriors?
I think so. What year are we in? 24?
Yeah, but time flying, bro. We getting old. But, yeah, so the 22
finals. Yeah.
So the 22 finals, you'll notice that Celtics will go in these lapses on offense where the offense gets kind of stagnant. I kind of see that same thing with Houston. And that's kind of one thing about Ime that I'm kind of like looking at. I'm not going to lie. You got to start. Because his defense is always on point. I don't have to worry about the defensive end because he's a defensive coach. But those lapses in offense sometimes can really, really stop.
I feel it. Yeah. In those type of situations where obviously there's coaching there, but like, that's where it's nice to have a player like Jalen Green, even though he shoot a lot, but he can get to a spot. So in a lull like that, you know, when they appear where the offense, the ball is sticking, that's nice to have a player where you can just give him the ball and say, all right, bro, you know, we not cooking right now. 10 seconds left on the shot clock. Give me a bucket. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I feel what you're saying. I got a question for you, though.
Oh, same here.
How we feeling about Zach Eddie?
I like Edie. He fouled out that first game because he kind of threw me. I'm like, how you foul out in 16 minutes? Was it 16 minutes?
He's slow footed, bro.
That was kind of wild. But nah, the defense a lot better than I thought. Great touch around the rim, huge guy, and our boy hit threes.
They all can hit a little threes now these days.
He hit threes. I seen him hit two against who was that they played? The Jazz. Hit two against the Jazz.
Speaking of Jazz, we could rotate there. I don't know, you know. Them boys suck. Big disappointment. I'm kinda sad at it. I like a lot of those players. Free Laurie. They just benched Sexton last game. I don't get it. Like, he been playing good, and they benched him.
Cameron George start though, don't he?
Nah, he start now. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, was he hurt? I don't think he was hurt. No. So, they just, Clarkson started last game. All right, so.
Yeah, bro, they need to just go ahead and just trade Laurie, bro, tank, and try and get AJ, I can't even say that boy's last name, but the dude from Utah Prep.
Yeah, get that boy Cooper. That's where they're looking at right now.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Cooper before him.
I ain't gonna lie, Cooper and Laurie together would be crazy, though.
It would be nasty.
I ain't gonna lie, that's some American Sniper type beat. You know, them boy shooters.
White boy shooters?
White boy shooters, bro. That's some, what they call them? YCs, Young Crackers.
YCs. Not the YCs, the Utah YCs is nuts.
The Utah YCs, damn, that is nuts. I ain't gonna lie. YCs in Utah. Ah, man, so that, I ain't gonna lie, the way they're playing right now, without, even if they don't trade nobody, that's where they're heading.
Well, shoot, don't they got a win on the season, right? I think.
No, they don't, bro.
They don't got a win?
I'm bugging.
I thought Pistons was the only team that didn't win a game.
Nah, Pistons, let me see if I'm on timing. By the way, y'all, when y'all see me look off, it's this other monitor here. This is where I got, like, stats and whatnot up.
Oh, that's cool. We do research on the pod.
Live, bro. Everything live. That's how you do. Yeah. Y'all getting it fresh.
Look.
But they 0-4, bro. They got a 17 point. They average 102 points a game. This is not 1968, bro. That's not good.
That's gross.
That's terrible.
Yeah, them and the Pistons, the only team that ain't win a game yet.
Yeah, the Pistons, they also disappointed. So,
yeah. But, you think they trade Laurie at the deadline if it gets real bad?
No, they would have did that last year, in my opinion. So, I don't think
they weren't bad this last
year. Because he's not even on a big deal, so I wouldn't even trade him. That's you know what I'm saying? Like, he on a very team-friendly deal right now.
Didn't he just re-sign with them? Am I tripping him
again? I don't think he did. Not yet. Laurie Markkanen, let's find out the Finnish sniper.
Because last year they were like, they weren't good, but they were like mediocre enough to not make a trade. This year I think they might be bad enough to make a trade.
They are bad.
So I think
he's still on that Bulls deal, bro.
Really?
No, I'm cap. He extended, but it don't come in until next year.
When did he extend? This past summer or before that?
I want to say this past off season.
Oh wow! So they just get a fresh deal.
Yeah. He not. Oh, he can't even be traded until. Oh no, never mind.
I was saying. So that's what I'm saying. I didn't know they gave him a fresh deal. So yeah, he can't even get traded yet. That's crazy. Yeah,
he's still on that Bulls deal, bro. That 4-year, $67 million, which is a crazy deal for a player's talent in 2024. But next year, that contract goes from $17 million to $42 million, which is a huge jump. That boy, he finna live nice.
I mean, he deserves it, bro. He's one of the best play finishers in the league right now, bro.
Especially 7-footer.
Highly efficient player, bro.
Yeah.
Jazz is definitely one of those teams to kind of look out for. It's a lot of teams. Like I said, it's a lot of teams that's been moving me so far. A couple of honorable mentions. The Warriors been pretty good. They ain't been playing no good team so far, but Buddy Hill's been pretty good. The Clippers, I mentioned before, have been pretty good. There's a lot. The Cavs, like I said, we talked about the Cavs a little previously, but it's a lot of good teams, bro. Like I said, this is gonna be a really good season. I'm curious to see how things kind of shape up. Honorable mention: Jordan Poole's leading the league in 3-point percentage.
Don't stress me out, bro. Can't say that name on this pod.
Need to go watch a game, bro. Go watch Pool Party. He's splashing right now.
Bro, them tickets just got more expensive, bro. I'm not driving to DC to go watch no Pool Party, bro.
Why the tickets expensive? They're not good. Gilbert Arena's not there.
Exactly, bro. That's what I'm saying. Like, why are these tickets so pricey for the Wizards? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to see that, bro. Like, I was trying to go see the Lakers game. I mean, I knew that was gonna be a little pricey anyway because LeBron gonna be in town, but. Bro, like, no, I'm not dropping $100+ on the Wizards.
I don't blame you, bro. I don't blame you.
Not in DC. Plus, I gotta pay for parking, bro. Like, no, not doing that.
There's no parking in DC.
Yeah, exactly. Not trying to have that. But.
That's all that kind of has been piquing my interest so far. Yeah. It's gonna be a good season. So you wanna I guess get into the little tidbits we had on what's going on in the world?
Yeah, we're just gonna make this a short and sweet, you know, part, because we're getting out there on town now. So go vote, y'all. Go vote. Next Tuesday is the day. You know what I'm saying? I ain't telling you who to vote for, but go vote. You know, don't ask me who I'm voting for either. Don't ask Don who you're voting for, because I don't know. But go vote. Make sure y'all go vote. The presidential election kicking up. Kamala and Trump, you know the deal. And it's not just them. There's going to be other people to vote for, other, you know, other positions in the government that matter. So
local election as well, man. So, your amendment.
Make sure y'all go out there and go vote. And people did die for that. We got baseball. We got a World Series. It would be crazy if we didn't touch on Freddie Freeman.
Bro, the Yankees suck, bro.
They do suck, but they snapped last game. They're playing right now. Let me see what's going on. Let me tell you live score. No cap, ain't gonna lie. It's 5-0, bottom of the fourth at the time of this recording. So even though they suck,
they up
5-0, bottom of the fourth. So I don't think they want to go outside. They don't want to go outside.
Money. The MLB trying to make some money.
Let me see what happened. Let me see. I'll tell y'all real quick, and then we're gonna move on. Let me see. Game. Judge got a home run. Jazz got a home run. Stanton got a home run. Them boys not going outside.
Isn't that crazy that they play back-to-back days?
Back-to-back, bro. They trying to get the World Series up and out of there, bro. Like, they ain't waste no time.
That will not fly in the NFL, in the NBA. NFL is one game. In the NBA, that will not fly.
Bro, I'm telling you, bro, the Super Bowl feel longer than this, bro. Like, they don't waste no time, bro. Especially when you got the pitch clock, you know, in recent years, and they doing all this thing to reduce how long games last, right? Like, it just, games going. They start and they go, you know? So, it's real interesting. I hope they make it to, like, a game seven. That'd be dope, and see, you know, if Freddie, Shohei, Mookie, Judge, Soto, and all these guys, what they do in that type of moment. But World Series, man. Well, I'm pulling for the Dodgers, though. I'll just say that. I need Shohei to get that ring, because he the GOAT.
I'm going for the Dodgers, my boy Ohtani. He won them one, so we're going for the Dodgers.
Yeah, he low-key been stinking up the World Series, but that's all right. Freddie got him. That's all right. Freddie got him.
World Series. And then we did talk. You still want to talk about Denzel?
We talk about Denzel, yeah, you know, that a GOAT actor, one of the greatest actors of all time. I just saw a video the other day, that man saying he in the 70s, which is crazy to me. Like, yeah, we knew he was older than us, and, you know, he from the previous generation, and, you know, he been acting for a long time, you know, so
long time,
we all knew he was old, but to hear that he 70, you know, in the 70s, that's just crazy to think about, to talk about. He still look great, though. You know, he doing his thing.
Exactly. And that's crazy. That's like Bron longevity, bro. I seen that he won his first Academy Award in 1987, bro.
87, bro. We wasn't even thought of in 87.
Fight for Freedom. That was his first Emmy he won.
Fight for Freedom. God damn. That's the type of timing.
You seen that movie before? I actually haven't watched it. I've heard of it. I've never watched it.
I might have put it on the list now. Fight for Freedom. Oh, hey, hold on. Breaking news. Detroit about to win their first game.
Oh, to who?
they beating up on Philly. They're beating up on Philly right now. Breaking news.
Maxie and friends.
Yeah, there you go. Feel Maxie sorry for Maxie. Feel sorry for Maxie.
I saw a stat that said Maxie has the most shot attempts for a Sixer in franchise history through the first three games. More than, and keep in mind, the Philadelphia Sixers once employed Allen Iverson.
I'm telling you, bro, he don't pass, bro. He get the ball and he said, "I'm better," and he chuck. He put it up. It's going
pass
up.
Who?
Exactly. It's going. He's not trying to pass to Mr. Rare End over there, Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, he ain't trying to pass. He ain't trying to pass to BBL. He ain't trying to pass to Kelly Oubre.
He not trying to pass to the twin, Caleb Martin. You know, it's going up.
Bro. But that's crazy. Shout out Detroit. I hope they get that win. But nah, yeah. Shout out to Denzel, one of the GOATs. I definitely feel like one of the pioneers as far as, you know, black culture in general, not just black culture.
Period, bro. Period.
You know. Yeah, and they had still making blockbuster movies. Like I was telling you before,
to this day.
Coming out November 22nd. That's like
not a hat
franchise. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm gonna watch that movie though. It looks like a good movie.
And I watched the first one. You watched the first one?
Hell yeah, I watched the first one. Great movie.
You surprised, bro. Gladiator or 300?
I almost caught you. Yeah, I think about that. I want to say Gladiator.
I think
Gladiator was a much better. I enjoyed 300, but Gladiator from a movie standpoint, from a theater standpoint, better production, much better script, much better writing. 300, that shit was just hard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 300 was just like that movie you would watch. That 300 one of the movies that you want to watch. You want to sneak and watch when you a kid because it just has.
You watching it, you feel like, yeah, man, I want to do that. I want to go kick somebody and say this is Sparta. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was just like you said, just like as far as the movie, it was a better movie.
It's a movie, you know, all around. But I think that wraps this up, man. You want to close this out? Episode 1 in the books.
Episode 1. Now, this is fun for the cheese. Like I say, you know, definitely want to be consistent. We want to just going to start dropping every week, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we're going to definitely get input from different people and things like that. So, you know, when we start getting it out there, you guys let us know what you guys want us to talk about. We're going to just keep it up to speed. But, like I say, it's a wrap. Oh, last name, Free Dirk.
Oh, brother. Hey, the pride did not promote that.
I need music. I need music.
There you go, but... But nah...
I'm taking the seafood boil for the meal.
Seafood boil? Ah, brother, you snitching?
But nah, y'all, that's a wrap for the pie, you know?
Yeah, so that's it, man. Wrapping up, in the future, we will have Q&A's, so please look out for that. You know, we're looking forward to your questions so we can ask things. But that's it for episode 1.